man is a threat to national security. Now, at one of these hearings, there's a lot of secret evidence. So there was secret witnesses, secret evidence that we, the defense, had only a vague summary of. So it was very difficult to fight this. And add to that that the judge was a former Solicitor General. That means he had been in charge of Canada's spy agency. It just so happened that the spy agency was the one chiefly responsible for the evidence. So here you have the former boss of the spooks supposedly being able to sit in judgment as to whether what his former employees, who may well have something on him, incidentally, are saying. Well, we three times asked the judge to recuse himself, but he wouldn't. But in the public evidence, so it showed that this man, who never broken a law in Canada, paid taxes, was a lifelong pacifist, the proof that he was a threat to national security is this, at least the public information. And when something like this, back in the 70s, Ernst Zundel attended a couple of lectures by Dr. William Pierce, who was the founder of the National Alliance. William Pierce wrote a book called The Terror Diaries. Timothy McVeigh supposedly read that book. Timothy McVeigh blew up the Murrah building. Ernst Zundel's a terrorist. Now, it's wacky. Zundel never contributed to the National Alliance, but even if he had, Dr. Pierce didn't tell McVeigh, assuming McVeigh even read the book, to blow up the Murrah building. And, of course, there's considerable question as to whether McVeigh actually did that. But on the non-evidence, Ernst was deported from Canada. Germany wanted him because he had questioned the Hollywood version of World War II, and he was sent back in 2005 and did 5 years.
We got another break here. Another break. I apologize, Paul. Paul, commemorating the death of Ernst Zundel. We'll be right back, folks. Stay tuned.
The best of the free life is still yet to come. The good times ain't over for good.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
We're back, folks, and we are entering our final hour, our third hour of the American Freedom Party Report here on Sunday. I didn't give the date, August 6th, 2017. And sorry to hear that Ernst Zundel has died, Paul. You got interrupted there by the break. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll just try. Yes. So he spent 5 years in prison in Germany. He got out in 2010. He was under probation for a certain period of time. But one of the very saddest things about his story, he was a courageous fighter for what he believed. He put out fantastic videos. He even wrote a book about flying saucers as the German secret war, weapon of World War II, and a very interesting booklet. But anyway, Ernst Sundel has been trying to return to the United States since 2003. Numerous appeals and back and forth through various courts. It was finally decided just, I think, a few weeks ago by a man who was not born in County Tipperary, so to speak, that Sundel could never return to the United States. So his American-born wife, I'm sorry, his American wife, Ingrid, lives in Tennessee. So you might say, why doesn't she join him in Germany? Well, because of her work questioning the Hollywood version of World War II, she very likely would be put in jail in Germany, even though she's in her 80s. So she couldn't go to Germany where Ernst was, and Ernst couldn't go back to the United States where his wife is. Compassionate grounds don't even exist when it involves dissent. And so they would meet from time to time in places like Mexico and the Dominican Republic. But it will be very interesting. If his funeral is in Germany, she undoubtedly won't be able to go. So it's very sad. He was a colossal force, and he commissioned research that at the Canadian trial, at least to an objective observer, put a huge hole in the Hollywood version of World War II. He got a man who has very unusual skills. He designed execution equipment for American prisons. His name was Fred Leuchter. And he sent Leuchter with a videographer and translator over to Auschwitz. Leuchter went through the samples in the masonry and brick of the supposed extermination chambers and concluded that the gas Zircon had not been used there. That we are being fed largely a story, and this had a huge impact because. And another thing at one of the Sundel trials, Doug Christie was the lawyer, just probably Canada's best lawyer cross examination, just humiliated witnesses. Eyewitnesses were tied in knots. And eyewitness testimony often is not good. One man, and he was an expert, claimed that he knew the ethnicity of who was being cremated because of the color of the smoke. Now, that should have laughed the case out of court. It almost sounds like a racist joke. You know, if it was black, the smoke would be black. If it was Chinese, it would be yellow. But he could tell whether it was a Slav or an Italian or a Jew by the color of the smoke. Utter bogus. I mean, as far as I know, smoke is all the same white, regardless of the color of the body being burned. And this was an expert witness. Christie sank the battleship at that trial. And they've never again, and see, now they don't want to discuss the so-called Holocaust. It's a religion, you better believe, or shut up.
When did he die, Paul?
He died on Saturday of a heart attack at his home in the Black Forest. He was 78.
In the Black Forest. Well, our condolences to his wife, Ingrid, who I knew her as Ingrid Rimland, and then knew her later as Ingrid Rimland Sundel, and who lives right there in Tennessee, and I was privileged to, be a guest there at her home and Ingrid's home there in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Some sad news there. Some good news from last week that we've touched upon, which is the American Renaissance Conference. And there's a good write-up on this by John Derbyshire. So let me just share a little of that with you here. I'm reading this from the American Renaissance website. Here's what John Derbyshire writes, and it was wonderful to meet John Derbyshire there. And he, by the way, said he'd be happy to come on our radio show. So look forward to an appearance from John Derbyshire. Another speaker, Peter Brimelow, very eager to talk with you, Paul, and be interviewed on this show. So look forward to Peter Brimelow appearing. Here's what he writes under Hate Fest in Tennessee, writes John Derbyshire. This month's big event was the annual conference of American Renaissance in Tennessee over the last weekend. It was a great success, the best of the several AMREN conferences I've attended. And he says, one difference with previous AMREN conferences in this location is that the anti-white protesters, practically all of them, of course, white themselves, were allowed to stand right outside the main door of the conference center instead of on the other side of the parking lot as formerly. This change apparently resulted from legal pressure. Now, folks, by the way, this is the sixth time that Jared Taylor has done this great event at the Montgomery Bell State Park Inn. And the Paul, it was just wonderful. The director of the state park police, issued a very wonderful statement that these people have a right to free speech, and as long as they are obeying the law, we have an obligation to provide them with this public facility and to guard it. It's wonderful. Anyway, Derbyshire writes this, the presence of the anti-white whites made no difference to us attendees inside, and he's right about that, other than to give us and the protesters close looks at each other through the conference center plate glass windows. And then he says, it did, though, probably lead to the first ever punch-up between one of ours and several of theirs, reported at the end of AMREN's own conference report. Nobody seems to know how the fight got started, et cetera. And there's Derbyshire has a little less information than I have. The guy who got hit was an old man, very old man, who got hit in the eye. He got sort of, he was in the wrong place with these people. He was out there with them, and the cowardly guys punched him in the eye. He's okay, and he will come back to testify in court. Those young guys are going to jail.
Good.
Yeah, and he says, what does he say here? More, he says, I'll skip a lot of this. It's a nice report from John Derbyshire, who gave an absolutely brilliant presentation. Funny, erudite. It was wonderful. He says, Conservatism Inc. has accomplished nothing. Heritage, Cato, American Enterprise Institute, NRI, all that scholarly lucubration, all those millions in funds, and Conservatism Inc. couldn't even pass health care reform. Our borders are wide open to anyone that cares to stroll in. American citizenship counts for nothing. The Afghanistan war is in its 16th futile year, and they're fine with it all. Why would any patriotic young person support these arm flappers? Did any of them, with all their overflowing treasure chests, contribute anything to last year's election victory? If they did, it must have been inadvertent. They all hated Trump. Something's definitely happening. And then he says, the torch has been passed. And then he says, he has a picture here of Jared Taylor. He says, I can't leave the topic of July's AMREN conference without a deep bow of respect to Jared Taylor, who founded AMREN. He says, Jared has been pressing on doggedly with his project, White Advocacy and Race Realism, for a quarter of a century now, through innumerable difficulties and setbacks and against a stiff headwind of opposition from the dominant culture, including, of course, Conservatism, Inc. Now all that labor is bearing fruit. This year, for the first time ever, Jared had to turn people away. The conference center, which was big, folks, was just not big enough for all who wanted to attend. My advice to Jared would be to think ahead some and book Yankee Stadium for the 2020 conference. Success couldn't happen to a better man. I've been saying for years that if our civilization survives, there will one day be statues to Jared Taylor in public squares all over the country. Congratulations, sir. Onward and upward. Excelsior. And he ends the article with that single word, Excelsior. And then there's a link to a poem entitled Excelsior by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. So I'm going to read that here in just a moment. Let me just see if I have the poem. I think I do. Do I have it? Let me find the link again here. Sorry, folks, for Let me see here if I got that. Oh, my goodness. Awkward clicking on my part. Let's see if I've got the whole poem. Oh, my goodness. Let's see here. Oh, you're kidding. You're kidding. I didn't lose it, did I? Let me click the link one more time and get it for you. Well, down here to the bottom. Pardon me, folks. I had it all nicely arranged for you. Let me try one more time here. House to work and all this kind of good stuff. Here it is. I got it back. All right. Well done. But interesting twist for me. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow is my sixth cousin, Paul. And through the grandfather that we share is Richard Warren, my 10th great-grandfather. And I don't know what number he'd be for Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, probably like an 8th or 7th great-grandfather, who was on the Mayflower. But here's the poem Excelsior by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. And I guess John Derbyshire was thinking of Jared Taylor and his long 25-year struggle to climb the mountain that he has now successfully climbed. The poem goes this way. The shades of night. Oh, and I'll give you, there's one odd word in the poem here. A falchion is a sword. The shades of night were falling fast as through an alpine village passed a youth who bore amid snow and ice a banner with the strange device Excelsior. And the word Excelsior could be translated defined, folks, as upward. His brow was sad, his eye beneath flashed like a falchion from its sheath, and like a silver clarion rung the accents of that unknown tongue, Excelsior. In happy homes he saw the light of household fires gleam warm and bright. Above, the spectral glaciers shone, and from his lips escaped a groan, Excelsior. Try not the pass, the old man said. Dark lowers the tempest overhead. The roaring torrent is deep and wide, and loud that clarion voice replied, Excelsior. Oh, stay, the maiden said, and rest thy weary head upon this breast. A tear stood in his bright blue eye, but still he answered with a sigh, Excelsior. Beware the pine tree's withered branch, beware the awful avalanche. This was the peasant's last good night, a voice replied, far up the height, Excelsior. At break of day, as heavenward, the pious monks of St. Bernard uttered the oft-repeated prayer, a voice cried through the startled air, Excelsior. A traveler by the faithful hound, half buried in the snow, was found, still grasping in his hand of ice that banner with the strange device, Excelsior. There, in the twilight cold and gray, lifeless but beautiful, he lay. And from the sky, serene and far, a voice fell like a falling star, Excelsior. And whoever is calling me from Ohio and has been calling me throughout the radio show, I'm on the radio, my friend. Okay. That was the poem Excelsior by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, quoted by John Derbyshire as a tribute to Jared Taylor and the just completed amazing American Renaissance Conference. Let us see here what we can go to. There are open lines if you want to call in to 800-313-9443. George, our East Coast correspondent, is not with us today. Let me see if I can find a couple more stories to encourage folks with from the news today. And folks, if you've got one that you've noticed out there on our Patriot websites, feel free to bring it to us. I'm looking here at the, let's see, I'm at the American Renaissance website, and some good stories here. Here's one. This is not very encouraging, but it's certainly very truthful. the non-governmental organizations, NGOs, and the European Defense Forces shipped another 85,000 Africans to Italy. This is a story today. And the legality of how they did it is dubious at best. The law on whether NGO ships that ferry thousands of illegal immigrants from Libya to Europe via Italy each week are smugglers or rescuers is very murky, but the name of their game is without doubt very fishy. So I asked, writes this writer, an independent Dutch research institute, which has done lots of work on Europe's migrant crisis, to take a closer look at the activities of the NGO fleet. In 2016, this fleet of 20 or so vessels, together with European Union and Italian naval and Coast Guard ships, rescued, in ironic quotes, a record 181,000 migrants from open boats near the coast of Libya and brought them to Italy, which at its southernmost point, Sicily, is 275 nautical miles from Tripoli. Now, but you've got to, folks, there's a lot closer. There's an island there. Let me try to remember the name of it.
Lampedusa.
There's an Italian island very close to the Libyan coast. And all of these Africans, all they have, and others, by the way, Arabs, people from all over the world, coming off the coast of Libya, they have to get to Lampedusa, just this little speck of an island. But as soon as their foot touches this sand of Lampedusa, they're in the EU, they're in the Schengen zone, they have reached the promised land. And now, once in the European Union, they can go anywhere they please there. And he says, most of these migrants are single young men from sub-Saharan Africa. Nigerians, as ever, top the country of origin league table of migrant sea arrivals to Italy. Not a Libyan, let alone a Syrian among them. All have the equivalent of a couple of years' wages in their country of origin just to pay to get on a people's smuggler's boat in Libya, which costs approximately 1,000 euros to get on a smuggler boat. Few of them are refugees, unless every African is a refugee. More than two-thirds of Italians, 67%, now want Italy to close its ports to rescue vessels or deport all migrants ferried to Italy. And 61% of Italians want a naval blockade of the Libyan coast. I mean, that would be neat, wouldn't it, Paul? A flotilla of Navy boats, kind of like what Jefferson did with the Barbary pirates.
That's right. These NGOs are absolutely they're absolute traitors. They are assisting the illegal entry into Italy, particularly of these invaders. Harsh word to call treason.
I guess we've got a break. We'll be right back.
I've been thinking about our fortune, and I've decided that we're really not to blame for the love that's deep inside us now. It's still the same. And the sound we make together is the music to the story in your eyes. It's been shining down.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We're back, folks. And this is a very interesting article that's posted on American Renaissance, amren.com. And it's about these left-wing so-called rescue operations that are loitering off the coast of Libya and Africa to pick up hundreds of thousands of Africans and import them into Europe. And I can't read you the whole article. It's very detailed. It's very scholarly. But I'll give you the summary here, and then I'll read a little of the detail. What they have found here with careful research, they've tracked these boats that are supposedly rescue boats, supposedly picking up people in distress in the water, misusing and abusing law that allows people it actually commands them to pick up people in distress in the water and to violate territorial waters if necessary to do so. If you spot people in distress, all the laws are waived, and you have to pick the people up, and then you have to take them somewhere to land them. Well, what they're actually doing, and they have photos here to document this, in totally calm water, nobody's in distress, smiling and laughing Africans are clambering on board these NGO ships, handing up bags of their belongings and bags of cash, presumably, as they're picked up by these do-gooder left-wing boats, ships. And then, here's the interesting twist. They then scurry over to a European Union ship or a naval vessel, like an Italian naval vessel, transfer all of these Africans onto that larger ship, which then takes them to Italy, where they are now in the European Union, and then they scurry back to the Libyan coast to pick up more Africans. And what this report, let me go down here, what's happened, well, I'll go to the end of the article, there's some really amazing narrative to this. They have discovered that on Facebook, people are being offered tickets as passengers with discounts, Paul, are you ready for this? discounts for group bookings onto these non-governmental organization ferries. That is, a.k.a. smuggler boats, complete with phone number.
So, Paul, yes, it's very well organized, and the government should put an end to these people that go and basically lurk off the coast of Libya and pick them up as soon as they begin to leave Libyan waters.
Yeah. Now, get this on Facebook, folks. If you're so inclined, if you have any friends in Africa who you want to get into Europe, go on to Facebook and you can book a discount for your group booking. Your voyage, it promises on Facebook, will last only 3 to 4 hours before you will have the promised rendezvous with the NGO or EU or Italian naval or Coast Guard vessel. You only have to be in the water 3 or 4 hours. You need €1,000 to get your booking. it's mind-boggling. Imagine this. Let me see. I'm find another little bit of this, and they're going. You know, they've got some slip ups here because they've got pictures of their boats right up against the shore. They're claiming that they're 12 miles offshore, but they clearly aren't because they're right on the beach. And it says the NGOs are usually extremely careful about the photographs they publish of their operations, but seem to have slipped up in some of their photographs. Here's a photograph that shows a large rubber dinghy full of migrants, Africans, as calm as the sea near their rubber dinghy with NGO crew on board. The Libyans, supposedly, are handing over a large plastic bag to the folks, all of them smiling. What's in the bag? Not documents, surely, or heaven forbid, cash. are these people smugglers? And let's see if find another little bit of this narrative. But in other words, folks, hundreds of thousands of Africans are being ferried across the Mediterranean. Oh, and another part of this article says that now that news has gotten spread throughout Africa and the Middle East, that with €1,000, you can book a 3 to 4 hour passage to Europe. They're swarming into the area of Libya to get their, to get out into the water. So, my gosh, look at what our European cousins are having to deal with. And as they see us, well, with Donald Trump instituting the RAISE Act or pushing the RAISE Act, reform American immigration to strengthen employment, cutting our limit of refugees to just 50,000, and that's just for starters, cutting our green cards in half, and then also making it, Paul, this is wonderful, making an actual competition for entry into the United States, meaning it's merit-based, that's the term the president used. What a politically incorrect thing to say, that there will be a merit-based competition so that
rather than come one, come all, give us the worst trash you've got, it's putting the proper perspective on immigration. Immigration is an utterly, totally selfish thing. Pedro doesn't leave some mountain village in the middle of Mexico to come to the United States to make America great. He calculates that he can better his life. Fair enough. No immigrant comes to do us a favor. But that means that we should be looking at it from an equally hard-nosed point of view. What does this person offer us? And the fact is, in many cases, they offer us crime and parasitism and disunity. People with radically different moralities, radical Muslims and so on, and others, they don't fit in. They won't add to us. They will divide and subtract. And so immigration policy has to be very selfish. And I think Donald Trump's moving in that direction, and more power to him.
Yes, and think about it, folks. You know, America has come to expect, you know, it's just sort of, the left does this by sort of by osmosis. They've transformed our psychology into one in which, Paul, sort of the image of refugee status, the Emma Lazarus poem added to the Statue of Liberty, that the your qualification to be a refugee was to be the most pathetic person, was the most qualified refugee, as if that's what it means. You know, if you've got the most pathetic story, the worst diseases, the worst condition, you've had the most suffering and deaths in your family, that's what you really need to be a refugee. If you're healthy, if you're strong, you're intelligent, well, you don't qualify as a refugee. We don't need you. We need this other really sick person with tuberculosis. We could take them right to the Mayo Clinic and spend $1 million in treatment on them to, you know, for their tuberculosis. But if we catch it before they start spreading it to school kids in the Minneapolis area.
I thought that's the way Canada is. The bigger your the better your story, the more pathetic. In fact, what the immigration lawyers and other enablers do is that they trade around the stories and find that sound the best. How did this work when your client applied? Well, okay, my client will say she's from such and such a village in Afghanistan, and, you know, was raped by this or you know, a pathetic story, and because that, you know, it has nothing to do with the truth. In fact, the RCMP said a few years ago about 95% of refugees lie. I mean, they just lie. So it's extremely dangerous to bring them into our countries.
You know, I like that, 95%.
They lie. It's like a Terry Clark country western song. She has a song called Girls Lie Too. And you know, a lot of people have this very naive idea of refugees. Oh, my gosh, the poor people, you know, this and that. Really, a patriot would be trying to go back and help his country. We now have thousands of Haitians streaming across the border, the unprotected border, from New York State into Quebec, because Donald Trump has announced that he might cancel the status that they've had for the last 7 years. They were given temporary status in the United States after the big earthquake in Haiti back in 2010. It's 7 years later. They should go back. Haiti's a democracy, sort of, kind of, on a good day. Conditions have stabilized. Real patriots would want to go back and help rebuild their country. So instead, they're slithering up Canada because we've got a ridiculous rule. If you come through the regular border crossing, well, then you'll be told, well, look, if you say you're a refugee, you're already in a safe country. Apply back in the United States. But if they walk 100 yards down, across a field without a fence, cross over, we act like we're stunned and say, well, we don't know where they came from. Oh, obviously, they came from the United States. That's, you know, they didn't drop out of a plane. And then they go into a refugee determination process, which could last 3 to 5 years. Meanwhile, they're scarfing up welfare, medical aid, legal aid, the whole thing. In fact, there are so many, they've turned over the Olympic Stadium in Montreal. That was the Olympic Stadium during our expo in 1967. It's a magnificent building. They've turned that over to house these invaders. Our prime minister has
continued to see.
Go ahead, Paul.
Our prime minister has lost control of the border because he doesn't want control of the border. The RCMP are just acting as social worker enablers. They've set up a reception table on the Canadian side of the border. Instead of the Mounties pushing them back and saying, you can't come into Canada that way. No, they give them a coffee, put them on a bus, which is already waiting, to take them to Montreal to eventually be processed. It is insane. But then, of course, our prime minister says Canada has no culture and we're the first post-national state, whatever that means.
It is amazing, folks. And then on the more cheery side, our president, Donald Trump, is at his resort golf course in Bedminster, New Jersey. And the media has been playing this as he's taking a vacation to go golfing. Well, we go to his tweets, and that's not it at all. Donald Trump tweeted 23 hours ago, working in Bedminster, New Jersey, as long-planned construction is being done at the White House, which just recently he called a dump. Obama left it in the condition of a dump. This is not a vacation. Meetings and calls. So that's what your president's doing right now. He's in Bedminster, New Jersey. Here is his message to all of us for this week. Let me just play a little bit of it. Let me see if I can get the audio to work. Here he comes. This is this week's fireside chat, as it were, from our president.
We celebrate American Dream Week at the White House. We continue to see incredible results. This week, the Dow Jones Industrial Average reached an all-time high. Never, ever has it been so high. In May, the unemployment rate hit a 16-year low. And last quarter, real GDP growth increased to 2.6%. Prosperity is coming back to our shores because we're putting America workers and families first. The American dream has always been about doing what we love and doing it for the people we love. Whether serving in the armed forces, manufacturing goods, or starting a small business, our citizens pursue their aspirations and improve their lives of millions in countless, countless ways. Yet for too long, the dreams of many Americans have been put out of reach by Washington. Washington funded one global project after another while allowing other countries to drain our jobs and drain the wealth of the United States of America. Then Washington taxed and regulated our own workers and industries, taking away their ability to earn a living. But those days are over. My administration is working tirelessly on behalf of the American people. We have removed regulations and targeted unfair trade practices that are hurting Americans all over the world. We're ending the war on coal and unleashing American energy. We are introducing a tax plan to grow our economy and create more jobs. Factories and plants are coming back into Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania and many other states. They're coming back instead of leaving like they have been for decades. And just this week, we announced a historic immigration bill to create a merit-based green card system that ends the abuse of our welfare system, stops chain migration, and protects our workers and our economy. As an example, you cannot get welfare for 5 years when you come into our country. You can't just come in like in past weeks, years, and decades. You come in, immediately start picking up welfare. For 5 years, you have to say you will not be asking or using our welfare systems. As I said in my address to Congress, the time for dreaming big, bold, and daring things for our country has begun. When Americans are free to pursue their dreams, there is no limit to what we can achieve. This is truly an exciting time in our country. Every day, we're accomplishing great things for our people. Thank you. God bless you. God bless the United States. We're really moving along. We're bringing back our jobs. We're making America great again. Thank you.
Wow. That was something, Paul.
Yeah, that's very good.
And there was a touch there. There was a twist. I had not, you know, in all the reporting that we've done on this and reading of it, I didn't know this. Donald Trump's RAISE Act, Reform American Immigration to Strengthen Employment, requires every immigrant to forswear welfare for 5 years. Wow.
Yeah. That's in other words, if you're coming here to mooch, stay home.
Yeah, you've got a sign on the dotted line. I will not accept welfare for 5 years. That's beautiful. The current practice is they come in. You can see it right here in North Dakota. Somalian refugees, quote unquote, on day one, they've got all the goodies. More and, goodies. Yeah, yeah.
And see, that's what Donald Trump is suggesting. If you come here to mooch, stay home. We're looking for people who want to contribute and who can contribute. And that's why in this day and age, English is a requirement. Maybe 100 years ago, you could give a person who didn't speak English, shove a pick or a shovel in his hand, point to the earth and say, okay, dig here. But with the sophisticated economy today, the person has to be able to speak the language. So that's bare minimum, speak English. And then, as I understand it, what he's saying is a needed job skill. You've got to have a skill that will get you a job and that we need. I mean, you may be a wonderful worm picker, but maybe we don't need worm pickers. Maybe you're good at rowing a junk, in Vietnam. Wonderful skill, but we don't need a lot of junk helmsmen in America. This is just good business common sense that puts American workers first.
Yeah, a merit-based competition for admission with a green card, which is that's the open sesame, that's the ticket to citizenship if you've got that green card. A merit-based competition so that the best, not the worst, not the most pathetic, not the most, the biggest sob story, the story about somebody who's going to be flown, as I said, to the Mayo Clinic with a untreatable condition that will require a heart and lung transplant, 30 blood transfusions, $2 million worth of anti-cancer and anti-AIDS drugs. That's the kind of stuff that we're bringing in, Paul. And you mentioned that that's what Canada's bringing in.
And one of the things Donald Trump is doing is very, very effectively changing the emphasis. The emphasis is going to be on what's going to benefit America rather than what accommodates immigrants. And I think this is fantastic.
Yeah, really beautiful. That was Donald Trump's message to us there for the week. At whitehouse.gov. You can enjoy those yourself. Just go to whitehouse.gov, and every week he's got a fireside chat message. You can become one of his followers on Twitter. 35.3 million of us are now followers of Donald Trump on Twitter. Looking at another website that we routinely follow here, Matt Drudge, drudgereport.com, another person, patriot, who can pat himself on the back as having made enough of a difference in the 2016 election. I know it's you have 20 different guys who all say I elected Donald Trump, but actually it's true. If Michael Savage had not spent a whole year every day singing the praises of Donald Trump, very possibly he wouldn't have won. Matt Drudge could take the same laurel. His website has been a pro-Trump website every single day. Today is no exception to that. If Matt Drudge just cast the story the other way, if Matt Drudge had been a Clintonite, or if Michael Savage had been a Clintonite, or they just found some way to bash Donald Trump, if they'd been never Trumpers, that could have made the difference in Pennsylvania and Florida and Michigan. It could have cost the election. Matt Drudge has got a story here. We don't have time to explore it, but his headline is "Order Comes to the West Wing." General Kelly tells the staff, "Country first." And let's just see. Let's just open that story up. See what's Matt Drudge onto there. The story here is new chief of staff replacing Reince Priebus, and he says. This is a story at Bloomberg. On his fifth day on the job as Donald Trump's new chief of staff, General John Kelly gathered about 200 White House aides for a meeting where he spelled out in blunt terms the way things are going to work in the West Wing he now oversees. The retired Marine Corps four-star general said he didn't care whether they had been part of the Trump campaign or had joined the administration from Capitol Hill or another corner of the political world, according to people who attended the meeting. They all work for the president now, he told them, and they had to act as one team. Echoing the Marine Corps credo of God, country, corps, Kelly said he expects all of them to put country first, the president second, and their own needs and priorities last. He stressed the work ethic, and he sharply warned them against leaking, even if it may seem... I'll interrupt the story right there, and let's see. We do have one segment left. Maybe a chance for a phone call when we come back. Stay tuned.
BrainMag is an amazing nutraceutical technology that crosses the blood-brain barrier because it is a magnesium L-threonate and magnesium malate and glycinate. Magnesium L-threonate, when it crosses the blood-brain barrier, protects the brain from oxidative stress, and in knockout mice was able to protect against the memory loss and Alzheimer's. It dramatically increases cognitive health, improves sleep quality, stabilizes the mood, and works wonderfully with calm mind as a combination drink supplement. Order NutraMedical's Brain Mag at 888-212-8871 or NutraMedical, NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutraMedical, NutriMedical.com. This is the best nutraceutical for calming your brain, protecting memory and brain function, and prevention of Alzheimer's.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
What I hate is most folks don't seem to care at all. What I hate is looking up and seeing chemtrails in a clear blue sky today. What I hate is hitting roadblocks on a highway in my way. And what I live for is a chance to change and be everything I can be.
We're back, folks.
What I love is
here in our last segment of this Sunday edition of the American Freedom Party Report. I didn't get to make much of a report on the American Freedom Party Board of Directors conference call yesterday. It went very well, and some good things to look forward for the American Freedom Party, which was the first political party in the world to endorse Donald Trump. And I think this radio show, Paul, I don't know of any other radio show entirely devoted to the Trump phenomenon. I know we were the first. Has anyone else created a radio show simply to Trump?
I'm not aware of any other one entirely devoted to, no.
And so that's kind of an interesting thing. But certainly no shortage of material on any given day. We're on 6 days a week, Monday through Friday, from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, with our brief hour together. And then on these Sundays, we've got that three-hour segment. We're going to use that three-hour segment to give a little bit of time for Dr. Kevin B. McDonald next Sunday. Talking with Dr. McDonald this morning, I said, I don't think you'd want to be on one of our one-hour shows because of the depth and the breadth of material that this really great mind in our cause, Kevin McDonald, touches upon every time he opens any subject. So we're going to want him to be on a Sunday show, although I don't want to keep him any longer than he wants to be on the air, Paul, but that will be pretty nice, very nice. And Peter Brimelow, he gave the scorecard to Donald Trump, and I gave him our card and literature from the Trump Phenomenon radio show. It was fun to make connection there with Peter Brimelow, who is one of the great writers and website owners in our cause, who very early on, he sensed that Donald Trump was as great a man as he has turned out to be. Jared Taylor being another of those early birds who perceived the value in Donald Trump. So this is quite a hootenanny that we had there, Paul, in just outside of Nashville, Tennessee, with the American Renaissance Conference. And Peter Brimelow gave Donald Trump a big A+. So did Jared Taylor. And so have we consistently here. Donald Trump never ceases to amaze with, you know, more great initiatives like the two that came up this week. Merit-based college admission and merit-based immigration. Who would have ever expected such a thing?
Long overdue.
Yeah. Well, Paul, this is Merit-Based Radio, which will be back with you. Merit-Based Radio, which will be back with you tomorrow night right here on RBN. See you there, folks.
Okay.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. naturesyouth.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.